Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, all of you, to Politics Over a Cup of Coffee, because it matters. In fact, it matters more in your life than you want to care to acknowledge, but it's important. That's why we talk about it, because we can and we are making a difference, friends. You can persuade the persuadables. You can change your world. You are the greatest influencer you will ever know. You influence people around you every day, no matter what you're doing. And you may not even realize it. You really do. That's why we talk about these political issues in a way, at least I hope that we do, that helps you change your world. Because you know what? Why would you listen to a show at 6 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the evening replay on your way home or whatever you're doing that's about politics over a cup of coffee if you weren't interested or at least acknowledging that politics plays this really outsized role in your world, in your life, in the lives of those that you care about? Now, today, of course, is this insanity that begins in Washington, D.C. These impeachment, the sham impeachment hearings, all of this. You know, Lindsey Graham said something that was, you know, pretty profound last night on Hannity's show, Fox News. He's not going to watch the impeachment hearings today in the House. And he said, I want to quote this because I think this is important. Because the whistleblower isn't participating, the impeachment effort is denying the basics of due process. Now, I think most Americans get that. That due process is one of our rights guaranteed to us in the Constitution. Now, I'm going to say a little bit more about this particular subject for today, and then I am done with it. I'm done with it today, and I'll tell you why. Because there is a greater thing to talk about today that is deeper, that is more meaningful, that gets to the heart of the greatness of this nation and its principles on which it was founded. And I'm going to relate to you a personal story about that as we go through the show today. Because you see, this again, this show is about liberty, about what our republic is, about the values and the principles on which it was founded, which are timeless values and principles because they come from God. They are eternal. They do not come from man and they do not come from government, folks. And that's why we talk about politics over a cup of coffee, because those timeless principles are worthy of us fighting for, even in so-called Blue Oregon, over issues that are around us here locally every day. They are worthy of fighting for because it means everything. And right now, this nation, as exemplified by what's going on in this silent coup in Washington, D.C., this nation is at a turning point. It really is. And the only way it's going to be healed, the only way it's going to turn back to the greatness that is exhibited in our history. Yeah, it's flawed, but I tell you, there's no greater history of any nation on the face of the earth ever. It is exemplified in the vision of our founders, in what they set forth in their writings, in our Constitution, in our Bill of Rights, in all of our founding documents. Due process is something we are guaranteed in our Constitution. Why? Because, well, mankind often was ruled by tyrants who allowed no due process. I mean, this really started to change under the Magna Carta in the 1600s in England. And that began, at least in part, the basis for what eventually became our Constitution and the reasons to have a Constitution that limits government's rights over you and guarantees you rights. Due process is part of that. Because people were often convicted by tyrants with no due process, no ability to defend themselves. Now, I saw this when I was in Afghanistan. I saw the fruit of that under the Taliban. And I will tell you that in talking with military judges, because I was there with the military, that had been lawyers in private practice under the Taliban, they told me horrible stories under Sharia law, how people had no due process. That's why this is so important. So Lindsey Graham is not watching it today. Let me give you the rest of his quote, because I think this is important. And then we're done with this topic, because you know what? I'm not going to watch it either. I'm not going to legitimize it. And that's his point. Here's what he says on Hannity. Quote, no American, including Donald Trump, should be accused of misdeeds without confronting their accuser, which is the whistleblower. And no American should be denied the ability to tell their side of the story by calling witnesses to explain their defense. That's being denied to the President of the United States. To every American who's going to watch tomorrow, this could not happen in your case. It couldn't happen in a parking ticket case. This couldn't happen in any civil matter in America, because due process requires the ability of every American to call witnesses on their behalf, except for President Trump. So why am I not going to watch this hearing tomorrow? Because I think it is a threat to the presidency. I don't want to legitimize it. It's un-American. It denies the basics of due process, unquote. Let me tell you that it goes even further than a threat to the presidency. Friends, it is a threat to your personal liberty. And it's wrong, and it's immoral. It denies the basics of due process. And he's right about that. It is a threat to you personally, and that is why you should not legitimize it by watching. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be aware of it, but I'm not going to do it. Neither should you. Now, let's set that aside for today. By the way, if you want to comment on that, you are more than welcome to 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Jeff at 1220.am. And I do have some great emails that I've been wanting to get to for a couple of days now. And I will. I promise you. Because one of them has to do with, it's from my friend Lee. It's a powerful story. It's a personal story. From Lee about Veterans Day, from his time in the military. And I want to share it with you because it relates to where I'm going to go right now. There's a story that I saw that literally brought me to tears. It's in the Oregonian. You can see it on Oregon. Well, no, you don't see it on OregonWatchdog.com. There are some other great stories in Oregon Watchdog that are political in nature that are worthy of talking about. And I may mention just some of those headlines in passing as we go here. But this story is the greatness of America. It really is. It's powerful. And it has to do with not only Lee's personal experience, but I'm going to share with you my personal story about it. Because it really is the greatness of America and our traditions, valuing life, sacrifice, duty, and honor. Again, those things were enshrined, in essence, in our Declaration of Independence. Where those signers signed their names, knowing that their lives now, their fortune, which they pledged, and their sacred honor, they pledged all of that to give you and I the opportunity, knowing full well that they were going to become targets of a tyrannical government, the British Crown. They knew that, and yet they did it. That's part of the greatness of America. It's part of the story that I will tell you of what I observed in other countries that they do not have. And it relates to this story. I'm going to read this story to you, and I will stop as we go to the break, and then I will continue it, because I want it to impact you the way it did me. And there's a reason I'm doing this. And you'll know that as we go through the show. It'll become apparent to you. And then especially when I read to you Lee's email and tell you my personal story, you'll get it and why this is important. The headline of the story in the Oregonian is Strangers Answer the Call to Honor Two Oregon Veterans with No Family to Claim Them. The story is by Tom Hallman Jr. And I'm just going to start in here because this is powerful. The story starts off like this. Before the two stainless steel caskets were closed for eternity, the funeral director that had a final mission, last thing to do for the strangers who had become part of her life, and then it would be over. She'd never get the answers to the questions that had haunted her since October. She received a phone call after the bodies of both men had been found. Who were they? How did they get to Portland? Who loved them? Who did they love? The men had died of natural causes, both found in their rooms in two of the city's low-income apartment buildings. They were buried Tuesday in Willamette National Cemetery, not in the uniforms they wore when they served their country during the Vietnam War, but each in a pair of well-used jeans and a functional jacket, a different uniform, one worn by many men in the Portland's downtown core, men getting by the best they can. That didn't seem right to Crystal Purdy Newland, who has been in this business for 14 years. The last 11 at Lincoln Memorial Park and Funeral Home across from the Willamette National Cemetery. Now, if you've ever been there, and I have, you know exactly where that is. The story continues. She took two sheets and stood over the caskets that would soon be draped with the American flags. Gently, she used a sheet to tuck in each man, just the way a mother does at the end of the day when she wants to comfort her children before it's time to sleep. She says, I looked at each of their faces and acknowledged them, said Purdy Newland, 39 years of age. I'm not terribly religious, but I'd like to think somehow they were aware I cared. She then closed the caskets. Now I'll continue with this as we go along here. We've got a two-minute break. We'll be right back, friends. You're listening to Political Coffee. I'm your host, Jeff Krupp. It is 6:20. Don't go away.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. You know, I do have some great emails, by the way, not only relating to this particular issue of how we treat our veterans in this country, but also on yesterday's DACA conversation, which was a powerful one. Stirs a lot of emotions, and let me tell you, friends, that is not an easy issue to wrestle with at all. And we will wrestle with it again. And I'll read some of those as we go along. Let me continue with this story because it's important. The story continues. It began last month with two phone calls from the Multnomah County Medical Examiner's Office to Purdy Newland. Her funeral home is part of the Dignity Memorial Homeless Veterans Program, which is a national organization that's provided 1,700 funerals for veterans whose bodies were not claimed. I'll stop there for a moment because I didn't know that program existed, and you probably didn't either. Let me just make this statement. This is part of the greatness of America in how we honor our military as a nation, morally, ethically. It is part of the foundation that our founders gave us, laid for us. Those same founders that are vilified by the left as being racist. Those people are unable to understand the significance of how a program like this, the Dignity Memorial Homeless Veterans Program, which is a volunteer national organization, could provide 1,700 funerals for veterans whose bodies were not claimed by family. Let me pause there for a moment and ask you to consider this. Even if you have someone in your sphere of influence who is a radical leftist, whom is not a persuadable, do you think you could use a story like this to impact them? Yeah, I think maybe you could. Let me go on. The story continues. On the morning of October 4th, Purdy Newland learned that no one had come to claim the remains of Danny Joe Mendenhall, 62, a U.S. Navy veteran of Vietnam, whose body had been found in a Northwest Portland apartment. And then on October 17th, a few days later, she got a second call, this one, because no one claimed the body of Douglas Ray Wall, 64, a U.S. Marine who had served during the Vietnam War. With the help of databases and researchers, Purdy Newland found only a distant cousin to Mendenhall. He lived far across the country in another state. He told me last time he'd seen Mr. Mendenhall was 40 years ago at his aunt's wedding. He knew nothing about him. She learned that Mendenhall had been born in Tacoma. His parents had died. He had no siblings. She couldn't find out when he arrived in Portland or what he did in town. She learned even less about Walls, only that he'd been born in a small town in Iowa and somehow made his way to Portland. Both veterans, she believed, need to be buried with full military honors. Her funeral home, now get this, folks, listen to this. Her funeral home paid for the caskets and all costs associated with burial, about $6,500 for each man. She says, "We have the resources to assist in situations like this." She then used social media to tell people about the funerals, asking them, people in the community, to come and pay their respects. She says, "I always do that on these cases. We're not asking for donations. Just come out of the goodness of your heart. I never know how many people will respond." In her office on Tuesday, a few hours before the funeral, Purdy Newland mused about family life and death. She said, "These two men died alone. Yes, the bodies were claimed, but unclaimed does not mean unloved. And let me add to that, unappreciated by a grateful nation, by you and I." Story continues, her quote, "The people who come to this funeral will be stand-in for the family, a way to express love and compassion." She looked at the paperwork for the two men, lives condensed to a few sheets of paper, and she said, "No one wants to be forgotten." Pretty powerful statement, huh? It continues. In another part of the funeral home, Purdy Newland's husband, Ian, was getting ready for the reception that would follow the funeral services. He is a chef with Epic Catering. "I made all the food," he said. On his suit jacket, he wore a Purple Heart awarded for service when he was wounded in the army fighting in Iraq. In 06, a foreign fighter dropped a grenade on the Humvee he was riding in and his buddies. A 19-year-old gunner used his body to cover the grenade. He died. Newland, severely wounded, has scars and shrapnel in his body. He said, "Today we're serving sweet chili meatballs and sandwiches, cookies and brownies." And then he fell silent. And I stopped there for a moment, and I thought about that young gunner, the 19-year-old who used his body to cover that grenade. He saved a lot of lives. For that, I think he should be awarded the Medal of Honor. Newland said, "Cooking for these two men was intimate. I considered it an honor, a way for one vet to honor two others." 90 minutes before the funerals would take place, Purdy Newland met with the woman who would accept one of the two flags draped on these caskets in a back room. The military funeral, complete with taps and a gun salute, is a solemn affair. In each case, the flag is unfolded with precision and then given to a family member, presented with the words thanking loved ones for their service and their sacrifice. But what if there is no family there to accept the flag? Now, let me stop there for a moment because we're almost at the bottom of the hour break. And I will tell you that it is, while I disagreed with Governor Kulongoski a lot as a liberal Democrat that I served under when I served in the House of Representatives, I deeply appreciate the two funerals that he came to of two of my constituents who died in combat in Iraq. Because I watched him, a former Marine, stay there for the entire not just the service, but for the gravesite. And I watched him give those folded flags to family members. And if you've ever seen that or ever participated in it, it moves your soul. Now, when we come back from the bottom of the hour break, I'm going to share with you the rest of the story and then why it matters. Because it is part of the greatness of America. Juxtapose that with this sham impeachment going on today in Washington, D.C., that I don't think you should watch. Don't give it any legitimacy. Back in a moment, friend. Political Coffee at 6:30.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back. It is 24 minutes to the top of the hour, friends. I will continue with this story in a moment. Rich wrote me a great email about due process. And it is this. Due process? I agree with you. The circus must stop on the President Trump. I wish us on the other tier would get due process on Boquist's red flag law. Yeah, due process is a powerful thing. I want to remind you, friends, if you've got physical ailments, drugs are a great way to treat them at times, but you know, there are other ways too. There are holistic ways. There are natural ways. And CBD oil is a natural way that I use to treat some of my ailments. And I have plenty of them. And it works. You know, I buy my CBD products from Vim Natural Supplements down on South Commercial, right next to Safeway. This is in South Salem on Commercial Street. And I have to tell you, I love what I've bought there because it works for me. And I have every confidence that what they sell, which is CannaShield, that's the brand, CannaShield, is very high quality product because I know where it comes from. It comes from Oregon, sourced right here. It's made in Oregon. You know, you can learn more about this. You know, if you're curious and maybe you haven't tried it, it's about time you investigated it further. Go to their website, Vim Salem. That's V-I-M, vimsalem.com. Or stop by and see them if you're on South Commercial next to Safeway. Talk with them. You know, it's worthy, I think, of your attention. I didn't know much about it until I started trying it. You know what? I know a lot of people now that are using CBD oil-based products. And it's helping them. And they tell me stories about it. It's good reason for you to investigate it, don't you think? Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care in South Commercial. So let me continue with this story, because this is the greatness of America. It's not what's going on in Washington, D.C. today. Now, the process set in place today in Washington, D.C. is part of a constitutional process of impeachment. But the whole idea of due process, facing your accuser, that principle is not in play. And instead of that, let's focus on something that is truly great. By the way, I predict to you that this will be this, the TV ratings on this sham impeachment going on in D.C. will be the lowest ever of anything like this nature. And should be. It's a ludicrous thing. Let's not give it any legitimacy. But let's legitimize honoring those who've served us, who put their lives on the line for us, for the very beginning of this country. Let's continue with this story. We left off with, but what if there is no family member to accept the flag? That's this story in the Oregonian about this. It continues. Last week, Purdy Newland called Pat Lucas. You may know her name. Filled her in about the funerals of the two forgotten men and asked if she would accept the flag for Mendenhall. Cyrus Fossett, a 10-year-old private in the Lewis and Clark chapter of the Young Marines, would accept the flag for Walls. There was no question about the answer. I'm a Gold Star mother, said Lucas, who lives in Malala. Her son, Jeffrey Lucas, was a Navy SEAL killed in Afghanistan on June 28, 2005. He is buried in Arlington National Cemetery. He was 33. Jeff Lucas was one of a bunch of Navy SEALs killed in the crash of a Chinook helicopter that was on its way to rescue Marcus Luttrell from the movie Lone Survivor and the book about that. It was a SEAL team that did the right thing and paid for it with their lives. They were on the way to rescue them, and they were shot down. Jeff Lucas was killed in that crash. The story continues. Lucas, 72, sat in the Lincoln Memorial Park funeral home waiting until it was time to go across the street for the two ceremonies. She said, "This is my way to serve. The flag I received at Jeff's funeral was in a cedar chest my grandfather made for me when I was 16. And the flag she would receive Tuesday would go in the chest when she gets back home. I prayed for those two men this morning. I will pray for them again tonight." About an hour before the funerals were supposed to start, only a handful of people were there to watch. Understandable. It was raining. Why come to a funeral for people you don't know? But those who were present said they needed to be there. "It tugs at my heart," said Paula Scott. "I hate to see anyone leave this world by themselves. I held my father's hand as he passed. Everyone deserves a send-off with humanity." Barb Brandon saw a notice about the funerals in the obituaries and called two of her friends, Mary Blankenship and Nancy Clifton. They agreed they had to be at Willamette National Cemetery. Service, sacrifice, commitment, cliches, perhaps. But not when uttered as the rain fell and there were other places like where these women could be. A while later, two hearses arrived, turning off Memorial Drive and making their way to Mount Hood Drive, stopping in front of men holding flags, waiting for the two caskets to be brought into a shelter. Now, maybe 100 people were gathered to honor Douglas Ray Walls and Danny Joe Mendenhall. And then came the cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Two, four more, 10 more. The line of traffic stretched from Mount Hood Drive down through Willamette National Cemetery to Southeast 112th Avenue and then all the way to Southeast Foster Road. Folks, if you've ever been up there, that is a long, long stretch of road. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in the rain, all coming to say goodbye. That's how the story ended, and there's video of it. Now, this is a wonderful thing. You see, friends, complete strangers, hundreds and hundreds of them, saw on social media and read in the obituaries, answered the call to honor these two Oregon veterans who had no family on a rainy day. Now, let me share with you this story of what I experienced when I was in Afghanistan. When I was there, I was there with Ranger units, and I met a Ranger who had started a program. And here's what he started. You see, in Afghanistan, they have no tradition of military service the way we do. They don't have a West Point. They don't have 200 plus years of military, army, history, and tradition. You see, they're a nation without an identity. They're very tribal. And when Afghan soldiers, which our mission when we were there was to mentor them in combat, to help build to take young men who were from villages, many of them from different ethnic groups that were enemies, put them together in the fighting unit and have them fight for their own lives together and for their fellow soldier. This was based on the principle of what we did in Vietnam, when we put black and American soldiers together in Vietnam for the first time and had them fight together for each other. Knowing that when you do that, sooner or later, you break down some of these walls, cultural walls. And that's exactly what they were doing in Afghanistan. And it worked. But when these soldiers were killed, there was no service for them. The way we honor our soldiers, there was nothing like that. And this young Ranger, combat veteran, decided he should do something about it. So what they began doing is they began pooling their money as soldiers, buying wood, building pine coffins for these Afghan soldiers in the Afghan National Army that were killed in combat, and burying them with honors, and doing that as an example to the other Afghan soldiers who had no history, who had no traditions of that, and doing it in a way that showed that we as American soldiers appreciated and understood the incredible sacrifice that those Afghan soldiers gave of their own lives. And I will tell you that I used that story because I was broadcasting back to Oregon. And that young man had through his parents, had a, that's American soldier, the Ranger, had a group set up, and they raised and began raising money for that purpose, to just build pine coffins, to provide Afghan flags to go over those coffins. I don't know if that is continued to this day. I hope it is. Because you see, that's what a nation should do for its soldiers who give their very lives for their nation, for us, for their fellow citizens. Now, in our case, it is because they have chosen willingly to do that. And when I come back, I will share with you this email from my friend Lee. Listening to the show about his experience in the military. This is the greatness of America. We are young. Back to the
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back. It is 10 minutes till the top of the hour. So the greatness of America is not exemplified in what is happening in Washington, D.C. today with the sham impeachment, but rather it is that story where we honor our veterans. We honor our dead. Even the veterans that maybe never served in combat, maybe did, maybe gave their lives, maybe didn't, like these two men in the Oregonian story that were veterans in their 60s, served in Vietnam, died with no family. We honor them. And it is a tribute to the spirit of Americans that in our culture we do honor them. Such that complete strangers would show up because they had no family at their funeral service, buried with full military honors, as they should be. Lee's email that I want to share with you, I've saved since Monday, because it is important. Here's what he wrote. Snow was starting to fall. My feet were beginning to cramp, and my nose was about to drip. We stood at attention for an hour, now guarding the grave, as the families arrived at the site. I was starting to wish I was back in the shop. One guy preached and another chanted, and the drip on my nose was frozen now. Who was this guy? An admiral who I did not know spoke next of heroism. The odds this chief had faced of battles, I think I remember. Ready, aim, fire. Our first volley, two were off time. Oh, well, at least we get to move now. I noticed how large the crowd was and all the other military present. Ready, aim, fire. But who was this guy? Ready, aim, fire. The next and the last set were spot on. A quick march. I hope no one slips. And we were back in the van. As we stowed our rifles, several came up to thank us for being there. A captain that I didn't recognize shook our hands. I asked him who this guy was. He was Wind Talker, unquote. Up to this point, Lee writes, I thought this detail was fun, honoring those who had served, but this funeral changed everything. This guy left his family like so many others and served. He served a country that once turned their back on people like him, only later to embrace their differences. That, my friends, is the greatness of America. Our nation, so founded, is a nation founded by men who are not perfect. Again, that great quote from John Adams, one of our founders. If men were angel, there would be no need for laws. We are imperfect. We are an imperfect nation, yet we serve each other in a nation like this. Even people we disagree with, people of different color, different faiths, belief systems. We serve each other out of humanity. Now, not that other people in other countries don't, but folks, I will tell you that in so many places that I've been in my life across the world, both with the military and not, these traditions of service to each other is born out of our culture. This is why the political issues that we talk about here every day are so deeply important. Because you know what? I don't want my grandsons to live in an America that doesn't value the service of others, whether it's in a volunteer organization like Kiwanis, Rotary, whatever, churches, that go out and help others. You know, we're coming up on the holidays, and so many churches are having food drives, and people are, you know, great organizations are raising money and toys for kids for Christmas. That's the greatness of America. That's a cultural thing. But it's brought about by people who choose to live this way. It was a choice, friends, for our founders to sign the Declaration of Independence and put their lives on the line, some of which lost it. That was a choice. It was a choice for every man and woman to give their lives in battle in the Revolutionary War and in the Civil War and in every war we've ever fought. Now, yes, I know there was a draft for a time, but friends, right now, in this country, even during those times where there was a draft, and right to this day, people make a choice to go to war, to serve us. That is a choice afforded them by a culture that values liberty and understands the cost it takes to achieve liberty and then to maintain it. And maintaining it is part of the traditions that honor the human spirit, like Lee's email here about the Wind Talker, who was an American, Native American Indian, about the story of these two Vietnam veterans that I read you earlier in the day. Had no family to claim their bodies, and yet hundreds and hundreds of Oregonians showed up on a rainy day to honor them. Those are the traditions that are threatened today by a culture that doesn't understand it, doesn't care about it, because they have another agenda in place. It is a radical leftist agenda that says every one of those traditions and those sacrifices are meaningless. And that's what they're saying. That's what this sham impeachment going on today in Washington, D.C. is all about. It doesn't honor these people. It doesn't honor the great spirit of America, the great culture of America. It's quite the opposite. They are radicals. You see, that, my friends, is the difference between good and evil. America, as imperfect as we are, is not an evil nation. It is a good nation. And what was exemplified in that story that I read you today about these two Vietnam veterans and hundreds of Oregonians showing up to honor their service, that is the goodness of America. That's the goodness of America I saw in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that you have seen in your world and that you participate in. Now share that goodness, that story with other people. Maybe people who are left-wingers, who have bought the lie, believe in the lie of socialism, of communism, of big government. Maybe it plants a seed that grows into something that will create liberty in their mind, in their lives. Thank you, my friends, for listening today. A little bit of a different show. Tomorrow we'll be back. I hope you will be too. Be blessed. See you then.